test, but I'm still saved. Thank the Lord. Someone might give me a glass of water, please. I think I'm going to need it, if you will. Thank you. We desperately need the Lord to help us in being able to deliver the Word of God. I do believe that the Lord gave me this message. It's not the first time that I've preached it. Some may have heard it before. But we feel like the Lord wants us to share it with the audience here today. If we were to give a title to it, it would be, "The Battle is the Lord's." The battle belongs to the Lord. It is not that... Sometimes we feel like the Lord is our battles that we go through on a daily basis, but it's really the Lord's battle. I was thinking about the different things that are coming against the church today. It seems like we are under a lot of pressure. It seems like the church is under a lot of attack on many, many hands. But we realize that ultimately it's not, the church doesn't belong to me. It's not my church. I didn't die for it. And it's the Lord's church. And the battle belongs to the Lord. I've never done anything to the devil that would make him upset at me. All right? He has no quarrel with me. Because I've never done anything against him. Only I've chosen sides to the battle. So what he hates is the Lord Jesus Christ in me. So this actually sets him against us. So we want to deal with that a little bit. Let's turn to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. And we want to deal with a very familiar text of Scripture. And we want you to pray for us that we'll be able to express it in the way that the Lord would have us to. All right, so we're going to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. I want to start reading in the first verse. If you have it, you might read it for us. The Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah. Yes. Yes. All right, now first of all, I want us to take note of something. The Philistines initiated the battle. They basically said, in essence, we're going to go fight the Israelites. And they decided that what they were going to do is pitch their battle in an area that actually belonged to Judah. It wasn't their area, it belonged to Judah. So here we want to make that note here, and they gathered together in Shoco, which belonged to Judah. Remember when the Twin Towers came down? We realized that that was an act of war. And what happened is the people laid down their differences, the Democrats and the Republicans, and we probably have Democrats and Republicans right in this audience sitting side by side, shoulder to shoulder, don't we? All right, some of you think, well, maybe we shouldn't, but we do. And here's the point. What they did when there was war that was declared on the United States of America, we made a choice to lay down our differences, political differences, and we decided that this is an act of war, so what we're going to do is we're going to unite and we're going to fight and we're going to do whatever it takes to win this battle on terror. So in the same way today, what I want us to do tonight for a moment is lay down our differences. Lay down whatever you feel like should be going on. I want you to lay it down for a moment. I don't want you to think in one way you're not a conservative, you're not a liberal. I want you to understand that the battle belongs to the Lord. And what we're endeavoring to do by the grace of God is to be on the Lord's side. All right? Continue. Let's read the second verse here. Yes? They set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. So what we have here, if you could picture it, on this side of a mountain is a mountain that goes up here, and you see the Philistines that are here, they set their battle in array. Everything that they have, they're bringing out all of their arsenal. And the children of Israel, in answer to that, set their battle in array on this side of the mountain. Right in the middle is a valley. All right? This valley is very important because this valley is where the decision is actually made as to who wins the battle. All right? Let's continue. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. All right, that's good enough. Let's drop down to the 8th chapter here, 8th verse. He stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man of you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the army of Israel this day. Give me a man that he may fight together. With Saul, when Saul and Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Do you realize that there comes giants to the church that actually come and endeavor to taunt the people of God? Their design and their desire is to intimidate us, to make us back down, to make us say that, you know, there is no way that you're going to win this battle. So here we have Goliath, a great giant, a man that I believe is about 11 foot 4 inches. I happen to be a man that is about 5 foot 10. So if you stood a man on my shoulder, then you and the very top of his head would be about what how tall Goliath is. A man my height doubled. So here is a very imposing figure that comes in and he's endeavoring to fight against the people of God on their territory. So in the same way, do you realize that we have a lots of things that are coming against us, things that are endeavoring to intimidate us and make us where we will cower down and be afraid. But let me tell you, the battle is not our battle. It's the Lord's battle. And so what we see now is a group of men, an army, if you will. These are men that are supposed to be men of valor, men that are strong, and they're coming here on this side, if you will, of the mountain. They've set their battle in array, but what they expected was to fight a man their own height. And they said, you know, if it's not so intimidating, I can come against him. But you know, we're in a time now, Church of God, that there are a lot of things that seem to be intimidating to us, but let us shrink it down to size. There is nothing that will ever face us that God is not able to give us victory over. Nothing. No matter how big it is, no matter how tall it is, it seems like it may have double strength that I have. There is nothing that can come against you and I that we cannot conquer through the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. Do you believe it?
Yes.
All right. All right. So here is Goliath, if you will. He has the audacity. First of all, what I want us to understand here is that they set the battle in array on the Lord's people's territory. So where is the fight going on in the church today? It's going on right here. And if we're not careful, we've set our battle in array, and there are those that are on this side and saying we're going to stand for truth and right, and then there's this enemy that's coming against us, and there's those in the middle that are taunting and saying, you know, it'll never happen like this. I believe it will. I believe that we can actually win the battle. Doesn't matter how big the giant is, we can win the battle through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage us that way. So there is in the middle this taunting that is coming about, and there are certain things that are coming our way, and I thought of it like this here. You got a lot of things that we are fighting against. You see how our families right here in the midst of this audience, there are families with problems. There are husbands and wives that are battling as to whether or not we can stay together. And let me tell you, do you realize it doesn't seem like that's a battle, but that's a battle. That's part of the very battle of the church right here today. Because let me tell you, do you know what a man and a wife is? It is a type of Jesus Christ and the church. So why is there such a strong push against husbands and marriages? It is not because men and women just can't get along, but the devil wants us to believe that there is no hope. You know, half of the marriages in America are ending in divorce. Over half of them. So why is there such a strong battle that way? You know why I believe there's a strong battle that way? Because it's a battle against right. All right? Now, what about, use another example, the innocence of a child. You see, we're living in a generation where the children's innocence is being taken away from them. Why is that? We don't understand it, do we? But do you know why I believe that is? I believe it is because it's representative of the innocence of salvation. So the enemy comes against us. One of the other things that are being fought very strongly against is modesty. Seems like everywhere we go, modesty is being fought right here in the church, right here. Why? Do you realize that it is a type of the covering of salvation that the blood of Jesus has on us, the sacrifice that Jesus made? Do you realize that that's what it, when we preach modesty, some folks want to say to us, you know, don't preach on things, just preach Christ. Do you realize that when we preach modesty, that's exactly what we're preaching, Christ? If you go back into Genesis and you find out when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They tried to put a covering on themselves, but it wasn't good enough. And God knew it wasn't good enough. So what did God do? He made a sacrificial lamb, I believe. He made some animal, laid it on the altar, if you'll allow me to use it in that term. Laid it on the altar, killed it, sacrificed it to cover man's shame. So in the same way today, we're not preaching something that is just a tradition. What we're preaching actually is Jesus Christ. It points right back to Him. May the Lord help us to realize that. So these things that are actually we're fighting against, they're on the territory of the saints, if you will. They have set their battle in array in Shilko, if you will, in a place that belongs to the children of God. And what are we doing? We are getting afraid. Well, you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And I believe you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Ultimately, that's not the goal. The goal is to preach the truth. And I don't believe I'm preaching anything here that I don't preach at home. I believe everybody here that's from Dallas can attest to that. All right? Let's go a little further here. Still with me? All right. So Goliath comes in, and he begins to talk against the children of Israel. Where do we leave off? Pick it up, please. Yes? He had eight sons. Okay, that's good enough. Let's drop down a little bit. We want to lay the foundation here before we get really into what we want to discuss here. Let's go a little further into it, and let's start at about the 40th verse. Bear with us here. Pray for us. We want to be able to share it in the way that the Lord. Let's go to the 32nd verse. David said to Saul,
let no man's heart fail because of him.
All right.
So
here we have a group of men that have come as men of valor. These are men in leadership position, you might say. These are men that had gone to war before, and what their desire was to fight against the Philistines. So they had come, they set the battle in array, and here is David, a little boy, not very old at all. He comes in and he sees Goliath there taunting the people of God. And let me say, no matter what the devil says, let us not get our focus on the giants. You know, it depends on where we put our focus as to how we react to those things. Let us understand that the battle belongs to the Lord. So David understood this, and David came down there. We know the story, and for the sake of time, we'll paraphrase it. David came down to fight, to check on his brothers. He came down, and when he stood there, and he saw that Goliath was right there. He heard what Goliath said, and David began to go around to his brethren and to the army and said, What did the king say that he was going to do? What we want you to do, let's go and fight him. Let's go and get him. We can do this. But no matter how hard he tried, it seemed that they were just afraid and they could not do it. So what did David say? David said, you know what? I'll go and do it. Now let's pick it up, 32nd verse. Pray for us. Let no man's heart fail because of him.
Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.
Yes.
And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth.
You're just a youth.
And he a man of war from his youth.
He's a man of war from his youth.
And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep.
I kept my father's sheep.
And there came a lion and a bear.
There came a lion and a bear.
Out of the flock.
Out of the flock.
I can't see the word.
Took a lamb out of the flock.
After him.
I went out after him.
And smote him.
I smote him.
And delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me.
And when he arose against
me. I caught him by his beard.
I caught him by his beard
and
smote him and slew him.
Thy servant slew
both the lion and the bear.
And this uncircumcised Philistine
shall be as one of them.
Seeing
he has defied the armies of the living God.
David
said, moreover,
the Lord
that delivered
me
out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear,
he
will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine.
And Saul said unto David,
go,
and
the Lord be with you. Now David had an understanding. He could see, just like everybody else, how big Goliath was. But yet he understood something. There is a principle that he understood that I believe all of us have to understand as well. He understood that we can take this giant that looks so big and shrink him down to size. When you put him up against the God that we serve, God is still bigger. And we have to understand that. That there is no giant that we will ever face that God cannot handle. And so here is the situation. God allowed the Philistines to set their battle in array. He allowed them to set the battle in array in the area where they set it in array. And he had one man that was able to go against that giant and destroy that giant. This man was not afraid of what he saw. And may the Lord help us. He understood the trials and the things that I've gone through in my past. They're what is equipping me to face what I'm facing right now. Do you realize the things that God has taken you through in time past? Do you realize the lions and the bears that you've slain in your past are the very thing that's going to help you slay the giants of your future and of your present? The Lord wants us to understand that. The Lord wants us to understand that it is not anything that we will ever face that He can't handle. All right? All right? So He says, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. Now he said, the God that did it. He did not say, I practiced so much and I was a pretty good shot at doing this and I was a pretty bold man and I had all of this ability and whatnot. That's not what he said. He said, I understand that God is the one that did it for me in those times, and I believe that God is going to do it for me in these times as well. All right, let's continue a little further. Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them, and David put them off. So here is Saul trying to give David a little bit of counsel. Saul is a man that's been through a few battles, and he understands what it's like, and you need to have a certain level of protection. But David said, he put on the armor, and maybe it was a little big, and he felt a little awkward in it. Let me tell you something. This is a principle here that the Lord wants us to understand, that He is not going to want us to fight or require us to fight with anything that we don't have experience in. So now all of a sudden we've got this armor and I have to deal with it and I don't even know how it works. So somebody is going to give you a little book that they got out of a Christian bookstore and they're going to hand it to you and they're going to say, read this. This is awfully good. And you're going to try to address those principles. And when you try to put it to work, it doesn't work. Why? You're not accustomed to it. This is an armor that you think will work, but let me tell you, David understood the principle that God is going to allow me to use to fight in the battle with the things that I'm experienced with. All right? All right, let's go a little further here. And he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and a sling with him in his hand, and he drew near unto the Philistine. Continue reading for me at the 41st chapter, verse, please.
And the Philistine came.
Yes?
Came on and drew near unto David.
Philistine came on and drew near unto David.
The man that bare the shield
went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance.
And the Philistine
said unto David,
Am
I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his God.
And the Philistine
said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. So here we have a man that is not afraid of David. Here is a little boy, and he's thinking, well, you're coming to me with these sticks and with these stones. Do you think I'm a dog? Do you think that you can actually win with those things that don't matter in any kind of way to me? And he kind of laughed, and he disdained him, and he looked down on him. Do you realize that that's what the giants are doing to us today? That they're looking down on the people of God, and they're saying, you know what, there's no way that you're going to be able to stand up against me. But let me tell you, David understood, and we need to understand the principle that the battle belongs to God. It's not David's battle. David is not going to be wielding the sword by himself. You and I are not going to be wielding the sword by ourselves. The battle belongs to the Lord. So here is the Philistine. He says, David, come to me, and this is what I'm going to do to you. And what does David say? Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with the sword, and with the spear, and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies, whom thou defy. This day will the Lord deliver me into thine hand. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. Now here's David. Here's David talking a little bit, if you will, talking a little bit, I don't know what they say in today's vernacular, talking a little bit of noise. But what he's doing, he understands something. By faith, he can pierce through and he can look through this and he can see by faith, I've got you dead. In just a matter of time, you're already dead as far as I'm concerned. You're already defeated as far as I'm concerned. Do you realize and understand that the Lord has given us victory over everything? Do you realize that the victory belongs to the people of God? That is part of our inheritance. In anything that we face, in any battle that we face, Jesus Christ has already won the victory. And so what we must do as the people of God, we've got to fight it. Here's David. David couldn't expect the Lord just to bring the giant down by himself. David understood that another principle that we have to understand. The church of God is part God and part man. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, is he not? But he was born of a woman, was he not? He was born of God and born of a woman. So he was part God and part man. This is God and man coming together to form one entity, if you will, which is Jesus Christ, which is the church. So what we have in the church today is part Jesus Christ and part man. And we come together when we submit ourselves in obedience to the will of God, and we are washed, as we heard this morning, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. When we have on those clean robes, we are the church. And Jesus Christ came and defeated everything that is coming against the church today. So we need discernment, don't we? We need to be able to discern what's coming against us, don't we? We need to be able to understand what God is requiring of us, His people. All right? And David said, But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. Do you see what David said here? This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. He did not say, this day I've gone out and I can do this and I can do that and I prayed that through and I can do all of that. He understands that we still are a union between God and man. He said, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand and I'll smite you. So there is a part for God to do, and there's a part for man to do. The Lord will deliver him into our hand, and we are to pick up the sword, if you will, the stone, whatever you want to say, whatever weapon that the Lord has given us, the ability to wield, we are to use that to slay the giant. All right? This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Do you know we're living in a time that people don't know anymore? You got all the churches and whatnot, and you have people that are saying one church is just as good as another one. I don't believe that. And we heard this morning, the identity, to know who we are. Do you realize how much power we have against sin? We don't have to sin more or less every day. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross to deliver us from sin? Do you know that that's still the same today as it was 2,000 years ago? But we have a lot of folks that get their eyes focused on the outward. And so you see all of these great things that people are doing, and you sit back and you want to marvel when you see that there's not much. But let me tell you the miracle of the Church of God today. You know what the miracle of the Church of God is? We live holy lives. Now, most folks want to disdain that. Well, you can't live a holy life. There's really no way that you can do that. There's no way to live free from sin. Don't you make mistakes? Yes, I make mistakes. But let me tell you, the Lord can deliver you today from any willful sin. If you're a drug addict, if you're a drunkard, if you've got mind problems, whatever it may be, there is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. The battle belongs to the Lord. The Lord created you. Does He want you under the bondage of sin? No. Then why go to a church that says you must sin more or less every day and just try to live a good life? Isn't that horrible? Would you want to live that kind of a life? I wouldn't want to live that kind of a life. But right here is where the battle is raging, because there are some folks that really believe that you really can't live it because I've tried it, they say. I've tried to live same, and there's just no way that we can live as straight and as strict as you people are saying that you can live. Let me tell you, yes, you can. But let me tell you, it's not you that do it, it's God in you. There's no way that I can keep from yielding to temptation were it not for the Spirit of God within me. I need the Spirit of God. We all need the Spirit of God, don't we? All right? All right, let's keep going here. And all this assembly shall know the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. Can we say that, saints? Can we stand up today and say, no matter what you're facing, no matter what the church is facing today, can we stand up like men of God and women of God and say, the battle is the Lord's. He's going to give this into my hand. Whatever it is that you're facing, maybe in your family, maybe you're having problems in your marriage. Can you say the battle belongs to the Lord? Because I've never done anything against the devil to make him not like me, but it's the Christ in me that he's set against. Can you say the battle is the Lord, and the Lord will deliver this giant into my hand? Maybe you're desiring to see somebody saved. And it seems like the sin has them just bound up and choked up. Let me tell you, there are testimonies of individuals right here in this audience that were bound and choked up, and there's no way you can sit down, you can try to counsel with them, you can try to talk to them, there's no way that you can make it happen. But you know what? The Lord got a hold of their heart some kind of a way. You know what I like in that? David picking up that stone, you know what I like in it too? Prayer. Let's keep going here. I'd like people to read for me, so if there's, you can pick that up, please. Yes? David hastened toward the army. First of all here, the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, and David hastened. Do you see that David was not intimidated either? Do you know, the first of all, when you read this, you find out that Goliath said unto David, and then David said unto Goliath. So it's like this. It's almost like Goliath is stepping up and saying, I'm not afraid of you, and then David is stepping up and saying, I'm not afraid of you either. Do you suppose that the devil is afraid of you, or are you afraid of him? Are you intimidated by the things that are coming on you? Are you intimidated by that? Here is David. Here is the Philistine. He arose. I guess he was kind of in a leisure position here. And he arose and he came toward David. And what did David do? Oh, you're going to come toward me? And David hasted up and he started running toward the Philistine. So he said, I'm not afraid. And you know, not only did he run toward the Philistine, but he ran toward all of them. You have to understand that the children of Israel on this side of the mountain, here in the valley, is Goliath, and Goliath is coming to him this way, and David is running toward to face the demons, if you say. They have that word here. This is facing the demons. This is a type of the devil and his army, the demons. So David was not afraid of that. He hasted toward the whole army, and what David understood is there is no issue that you're 11 foot 4 inches and I happen to be 5 foot even. No issue for me. So he reaches in his hand, man, and puts a sling in there, and he does this. You're talking about missile, a guided missile. That's what we have, don't we? We have guided missiles. He never had to deal with the fact that his arm reach was much shorter than Goliath's. Do you realize that if he'd done what Saul wanted him to do, there would have been no match? It seemed like it was just an impossible, foolish thing for this little boy, I believe to be about 17 years old. It seemed like a foolish thing for this little boy to go against Goliath. Now, what we want to say, and let me say this, I want you to understand something. What we want to say today is, well, it should be the leadership. Was David a leader at that time? Now, I'm not excusing leadership. We should be in a position where we're examples to the people of God. But if you're in an environment or a situation where you may not have a leader, where you may not have a pastor, let me tell you, the Lord is still the commander. You can go to Him for guidance. Just like David did, he tried to rally the troop. He tried to bring morale up. He tried to do all of those things, but it didn't work. So he said, all right, Lord, if they won't do it, the captains of the host, the captain of this, the captain of that, if they won't do it, I'll do it. Amen. With what little I've got, I don't know how to wield a sword. I can't hold a shield. I'm a little awkward with all of these things, but you know what I know how to do? I know how to throw a rock. And Lord, I know how to trust in you. And I remember those times when I had a lion that came up and took one of your sheep out of the flock. Do you know that that's what's happening today? Do you know that there are lions that are coming about seeking whom they may devour right among the people of God? Right in Shoko, if you will. And there has to be somebody that is willing to stand in the gap and grab the lion by the beard and smite him. Destroy him. And David did that. And this is David's training to be the king. Do you realize that some of you are in training to be in leadership positions that the Lord wants you to be in? Do you realize that? And so what the Lord wants to look at is the fact that you've destroyed the lion, you've destroyed the bear, and what did He say? This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. So what David did is he shrunk the giant, if you will. So in other words, I don't see him as 11 foot 4 inches, this tall man. What I see him at is like a little lion and a bear. Now I think that those are pretty good foes. I'd be afraid to go against those, wouldn't we? But they don't have the intelligence that another man has. So this makes Goliath much more formidable, much more dangerous, because he has intelligence and he's a man of war. All right? David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehand, that the stone sunk in his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Now here is Goliath, this giant that is bragging and going around swaggering, if you will, going around determined that he's going to win against this little boy and show everybody all of this. And here's David. Before he knew it, David aimed and David throws the rock and it goes right into his forehead. And I believe there was just a stunned look on his face. What happened? And then just fell on the ground, face down. That was pretty, what do you call that? Uncouth. When you fall, you kind of at least want to catch yourself, but here this man just falls face down. Let me tell you, this is how the Lord wants us to fight our battles. It is not just our battles, it's the Lord's battle. And I believe part of the time when we focus on the fact that, you know what, I'm going through some hard times and I'm really in a battle, we don't realize that it's not my battle, it's God's battle. God is not our ally, He is the commander. And let me tell you, the battle that you're facing in your congregation is the same battle that I'm facing in mine. The battle that you're facing in your personal life is the same battle that I'm facing in my personal life. Do you realize we're not disconnected? What do we have here? You ever go through the airport? Most of us have flown, haven't we? One of the things that they require us to do is take off your shoes, take off everything, go through this and have everything x-rayed. Do you know why they do that? They used to not do that. You know why they do that? There are certain things that you can't take. It is because of what happened on 9/11. So now what we must do is understand that this is part of homeland security. This is part of us keeping ourselves safe. It is part of, right here in the U.S. and anywhere else you go, it's the same battle that we're raging here, it's the same battle that they're raging in Iraq right now. But it's on several different fronts, isn't it? Every airport you go to, we're going to make certain that you go through a metal detector. Now, in the same way, it would seem like this is your battle and it's my battle and we'll pray for you, but let's understand something. It's not my battle and it's not your battle. And I believe if we can just take our focus and put it in the right way, that we're all part of the same body, the body of Christ. We're all part of the same army, the army of Israel, if you will. If we can all understand that and put our focus on the fact that Jesus Christ is the commander, we'll have more victories. All right. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Champion. The battle is the Lord's. Their champion, this man that they knew would be so imposing, this thing that they knew would be so imposing, God brought it down. God brought it down in a very simple, simplistic way. And do you know He's still doing that today? I want to encourage us that way. Whatever you're facing today, whatever it seems like is coming against you, I want you to understand that the battle belongs to the Lord. All right. Now, you say, Brother Darrell, I think it's just, there's no hope. There's just no hope. I've heard you say that. I've heard different people say that. But, you know, I want to ask you a question. What are you focused on? You know, a lot of folks tend to focus on the negative. And the children of Israel initially focused on Goliath. And as long as their focus was on Goliath, they were discouraged. When you lift your focus off of the problems that you're having and you begin to put them in the right way, you understand some things that you didn't understand when you looked at the negative. Do you know, I find it interesting. I read a little, I don't know what you would call it, about race cars. You know how these folks drive these race cars around? I don't know why somebody would want to do that for hours on end, but I guess it's fun to some people. When those race cars begin to spin out of control, do you know what they do? It's getting ready to hit a wall. Do you suppose that they look at the wall that they're about to hit? You suppose they do that? That's our natural instinct, isn't it? Well, I'm getting ready to hit something and it's spinning out of control and I'm looking in that direction. You know what they teach them to do? They teach them to look in the direction they want to go. And there is a greater likelihood that as you're spinning out of what seems to be spinning out of control, you look in the direction that you want to go, there's a greater likelihood that you can right yourself. In the same way, there are some of you that I want to talk to about your marriages. There are some things that you're dealing with in your marriage that seems like it's just a difficult, and there's no way that I can live with this man or woman any longer, and you're about ready to leave them. And you're about ready to break up your family. And I've tried, I've done all these things, but I want you to understand something. There is something greater than just you and another individual that can't get along. There is a spirit that is coming against you, and you need to fight that spirit. And you need to understand that you need to look in the direction that you want to go. Get somebody that has a good marriage, that's put it together. Do you know, I don't believe that there's anybody, if they answered honestly, any marriage here in this place that has been people that have been married for a long period of time, I believe every one of them has gone through something that could have brought them apart if they would have allowed it to. If they had looked and focused on the negative side of two individuals from two completely different situations and circumstances and backgrounds, you're trying to come together to be one. If you focus on your differences, it's just hopeless. But if you focus in the direction that you believe God wants you to go, the Lord can fight your battle for you. And the Lord can bring your marriage into the proper perspective, and you can focus on the things that the Lord wants you to focus on. There are some folks here, maybe tonight, that maybe you're not saved. Maybe you've tried it over and over and over again, and it just seems like it's no hope. Let me tell you, there is hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. The battle is the Lord's. All right? Now, I want someone to turn and read 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. We're going to try 9th chapter, 7th verse. Who goeth to warfare at any time of his own charges? All right. Who goeth to warfare? That's good enough. Who goeth to warfare at any time of his own charges? You know, it is not our responsibility. The folks that are, we put in some requests for individuals that are over in Iraq right now. It is not their responsibility to get to buy themselves fatigues, to make certain they have the kind of machinery and the armor and whatnot that they need. That's not their responsibility. It is the responsibility of the government to make certain that they have what they need to win the battle. Now, whether or not we're doing a very good job at that is beside the point. But that's the responsibility of the government to make certain that they're receiving everything that they need to win the battle. Now, in the same way, what this scripture is talking about, no man goeth to war at his own charge, what that means is, it is not my responsibility to get, how do I put this? I want to make certain I say it right. God makes available to us, we'll put it that way, God makes available to us everything that we will need to win the battle. It is not my responsibility to make certain that I have it. I want you to understand me when I say that. It is not my responsibility to go and pay for it. It is Jesus Christ's responsibility to make certain that it is available to me. Now, once He makes it available to me, it is my responsibility to pick it up and put it on. It's my responsibility to be obedient in the way that the Lord wants me to be obedient. All right? Now, do you suppose that while we're fighting terror, do you suppose that everybody is bunched up in one little spot? Everybody's in Baghdad? I don't believe that. I believe that your battle that you have over in South Carolina, California, New Mexico, Texas, Missouri, Oklahoma, wherever you're from, Germany, Canada, India, wherever you may be from, the battle is the same battle. We're fighting sin and we're fighting wrong. And we need to understand that. So when we get a call and the call is coming to us that we're needing to pray for somebody because they're sick and they're in a battle, then you know what? Our responsibility is to go to the aid of that individual because it's just a matter of time before we're going to need them. The battle is the Lord's. It's not their battle. It's the Lord's battle. A platoon. What is a platoon? just a subdivision of an army. So you know how I see the congregations here that are represented here? As a little platoon, and you have a little captain, you might say a pastor or somebody, that the Lord gives us encouragement and He takes us through training. And one of the things that I feel is very important for us to learn here tonight, and moving toward my conclusion here, one of the things that I feel is very important for us to learn tonight is a spirit of obedience. When a person enlists in an army, one of the things that they are required to do is to go to boot camp. And we find out that that's a very difficult thing, that they have to learn some things while they're in boot camp. Do you know the Lord takes us through that as well? And do you know in boot camp when we're learning some things that we've never been through before and sometimes we've got to go back through it, do you know what the main thing that we learn is? Do you know what the main point is? What is it? Obedience. It's obedience. We have to learn who the authority is and what our responsibility and what our relationship is to that authority. We learn obedience. So what is the most important thing for a child of God? All of us here in this place today, what's the most important thing? To obey the Lord. That when the Lord says go, we go. When He says stay, we stay. It doesn't matter. We may not know why He's requiring it, and we may have a desire to go beyond that, but we're to do what God tells and learn how to obey Him. Amen. You know why? Because He can see how everything works. He's looking from a different perspective than what we're looking from. And if you move a little too soon over here, it's going to affect the troops over here. And if you move a little too slowly over here, it's going to affect somebody over there. So here's the point. We are led by the Spirit of God. That's what makes us part of the army of God. We are led by His Spirit. If we lose that, we lose it all. We lose it all. And I want us to understand it, because it seems like here today what I'm finding is happening, and if we're not careful, what I find even in my own life that I have to guard against. Sometimes the fact that we are intellectually astute is the most damaging thing. Because we can look at a situation and come up with our own conclusions about it when it's not what the Lord intends. All right, let's turn to Joshua, 5th chapter, 13th verse. Joshua 5, verse 13. Read it for us. Joshua lifted up his eyes. There was stood a man with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him, said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? He said, nay. But as captain of the Lord of hosts, I now come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. So here is, you might say, Joshua getting ready to go into the land of giants. Getting ready to go into Canaan land. And he sees they're getting ready to go to Jericho, fight against Jericho. And they see this man standing over here with a sword drawn. And Joshua goes to him and he says, are you for us? Are you for our adversaries? And he says, nay. Now that seems like a very neutral answer. No. No. No what? No, you're not for our adversaries. No, you're not for us. But he wanted Joshua to understand something. No, I'm not for either one of you. I'm the one that's in leadership position here. And do you know, I believe this is Jesus Christ Himself here, because He allowed him to fall down and worship. And there are other places in the Scripture where angels appeared and they said, no, I don't want you to do that. Don't fall down and worship me. But here's Jesus Christ with His hand drawn. He says, I am the captain here. And I want you to understand who you're fighting for. I want you to understand that I'm not fighting for you. Do you realize that when we put it in that perspective, it's a little bit different? Just ever so slightly, that it's not that the Lord is fighting our battles, we're fighting the battles with the Lord. Do you understand? I wish I could make it a little bit more plain. Do you understand the difference here? That we are fighting God's battle. We're the church of God. We are to stand against evil in the world today. That's our job, our responsibility as part of the army of the Lord. All right? We want to go a little further. I want to drop down to the sixth chapter, start at the first verse. Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. So the Lord already did it. And what he said to Joshua, just like he said to David, David understood when he went against Goliath that God was going to give him the victory. No, God had already given him the victory even before he went into the fight. He understood that. And so what the Lord is saying to him right now here is, see, do you see the victory that I've already won for you? Do you see it? Can you see it with your eyes? He says, see, I've already given Jericho into your hand. All you have to do is obey me and walk around there seven times. You're not even going to have to do anything. Now, suppose they had not learned obedience. Do you see the victories that the Lord has already given us? Do you see that there is an inheritance, that the Lord has given us an inheritance of victory, that part of our inheritance, if you go over into Joshua and you see how they did in the land of Canaan, what you will find out is that the Lord gave victory everywhere where there was obedience. So if you want victory in your soul, in the battle that you're facing, that you're fighting, the Lord's battle, if you want victory, you know how to get it? Obey the commander. The Lord's already given you what you need. You may feel like, well, you know, I need a little bit more. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a person in leadership and whatnot. And I don't know if I can do this, but let me tell you, you can do it. The Lord will deliver it into your hand. I want to leave you with a few thoughts. There are two aspects of the battle. One is a physical and one is spiritual. And I feel like what we need to do is focus on the spiritual. Doesn't mean we ignore the physical. But I thought about how, I believe it was Elisha, and how the army came and encompassed about, and how Elijah said, his servant came out and he said, look, I believe it was a Syrian army that came against me, said they're all encompassed around about us. And as there's no way that we can win against them. And he's coming and he's all concerned and he says, what does Elijah say? He says, Lord, he said, there are greater who are with me, with us, than with them. And you're looking around and it looks like we're just in a little pitiful state, doesn't it? But let me tell you, maybe it seems like everything is surrounding us. Maybe it seems like we're compassed about on every side, but I want you to understand something. It's not my battle. It's not your battle. It's the Lord's battle. And what we need the Lord to do is, Lord, open our eyes that we can see the spiritual aspect of it. There are too many of us that have our eyes looking down on the physical aspect, and if we look at the physical aspect, there's no way that we can win. It's all defeat, defeat, defeat. But if we look up and the Lord opens our eyes to see that we have the power and the authority in the name of Jesus Christ, if we ask the Lord to open our eyes, we can have the victories in all of those places. What are you focused on? What are you looking at? Do you believe it? You believe the battle is the Lord's? Now, if you were to say, could the Lord win His own battle? What would you say? Of course He can, but oh, poor me, I don't know if I can fight. Yes, you can. By the help and the grace of God, let us change our perspective ever so slightly. It's not my battle. It's not your battle. It's the Lord's battle. And let us understand something else. We're all fighting in the same army. Don't fight against your brother. Don't disdain the army of God. Don't look down and say, you start talking about the folks that they seem like they're afraid. You know, some folks do that sometimes. They want to talk about what's not happening and all the things that are not happening. Do you know the way your focus affects the way that you fight? So if you're focused on the negative and you're focused on the Goliath and you're focused on the fact that the Israelite army is afraid of the Goliath, if you're focused on that, then there is no hope. But if you put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He's the commander, if you can see the victory, you can have it. If you can ask the Lord, Lord, inspire my faith in You, give me confidence that I'm able to trust in You to fight this battle for me, then I can do that. I can have the victory. May the Lord help us. Pray for me.